The Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Great Tuesday. Thanks for being with us. Steve Palazzolo from Pro Football Focus on today's show. They're a senior analyst, all things around the quarterback situation. I'm going to really dive in on Lamar Jackson. With the draft 3 weeks away and the news that Lamar Jackson's mother is representing him and that he's blown off some things, missed some things, how much of that is fact, fiction, from Steve Palazzolo's view, they don't deal at PFF, Pro Football Focus, with the stuff off the field as much, but they're aware of it for sure. And does Lamar Jackson make the most sense for the Arizona Cardinals in the upcoming draft? We'll also talk about Sam Bradford and what PFF's view is of him coming here. So Steve Palazzolo will be with us. Didier Drogba. So I sat down with Didier a week ago. That was about 10 days ago. And I haven't put it up on the site yet. We used it, a good portion of it, on our ABC show last Saturday night. And also Mark Detmer, one of the owners of Phoenix Rising. Here's where I'm at with Rising. Those of you that have watched for any period of time know all the way back to Arizona United, and even before that, I've been about wanting to bring soccer here. And as the years have gone by, I've felt the ebbs and flows, this is going to make it. There's no way this is going to make it. Man, you could fire off a cannon here and nobody's going to get hit because there's nobody here watching. I did the play-by-play for 3 years just because they needed it on a webcast. And no offense to that, but you know you're talking to maybe a couple hundred people at max. And it's just a fact of I want to see soccer here. So when someone of Didier Drogba comes into Phoenix and drops down on us, he's a bigger deal than Larry Fitzgerald worldwide. I'm not denigrating Fitz here. But if Didier Drogba's walking down the street in Europe, he's mobbed. He walks down the street here on Camelback, nobody's really going to bother him. Now, people that know that he's here that I talk to, I can't believe Drogba's there. You sat with Didier Drogba? Can you get me an autograph? No, I can't get you an autograph ball. I'm not doing that. But it's more than just having a legend in his given sport. As Drogba is, and he's in the sunset, the twilight of his career on the field, but he's moving this transition, this cool transition. And it doesn't matter if it's a guy like Luis Gonzalez or Steve Nash. I think Steve's done a nice job of transitioning off the basketball court into some other areas. And in my visit with Didier, he's admitting that he can't do some things, but he also was very straightforward. I want to get this done here in Phoenix. Mark Detmer is one of the owners. The interesting thing about the ownership group here in Arizona for Phoenix Rising FC is it's a bunch of guys. It's not like two or three guys. It's a bunch of guys. And how is it they've been able to stay in their own lanes as owners? Because usually what I have found through 30 years of doing this, I've had plenty of ownership groups that I've sat with, I've visited with, that have all said the nice things, I've done the lunches and all that. And about a year, year and a half in, they're done. I'm not seeing ROI. Well, then you're in this for the wrong reason. If your very first reason as an owner of a pro sports team is the return on investment, then you're going to see what Robert Sarver's done, okay? He's made a boatload of money. He's gotten his money back, and he's put a crap product on the floor for the last 8 years. It's an absolute civic embarrassment, a great brand that he's just screwed up. So I like how they've been able to stay in the same lanes. But what is going on with building the stadium? What is going on with the MLS? What is going on in bringing Rising here? You know, if I just sit here and say, go team, rah, rah, and they win and they lose, I'm not doing you a service that needs to be done. Because I get people that ask, what is really happening with MLS? I don't need the fluff. I don't need the star-studded this. I don't need the selfie of look who I'm with and all that as much as I need to know what's going on with this team. They've sold out their first few games. Their matches so far this season have been much more competitive than they were a year ago when the ownership group made a change. And so I just think it's time to do a deep dive on this. We've done it on TV. We'll bring it over here on the stream today. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. Our television show tonight on Fox Sports Arizona, Brad Sussmat, Football AZ, 16 airings this week. We are self-funded. We appreciate those that look at us and say, we value you. We want to be involved with you and appreciate you joining us every day. Let's get you caught up. Some things on my mind in the world of sports. Brought to you by Sagicor Now. Guys, protect what matters most. When was the last time you even bothered to look into life insurance? Or maybe you haven't, or maybe you did a long, long time ago. Sagicor Now. You get your free quote online. Log on to the good people at Sagicor Now. Get that free quote and see where you're going with your life insurance. Protect what matters most. That's at Sagicor Now. I went on a dang long bike ride last night, but I got back right in time for first pitch of the Diamondbacks. Eric, am I losing any weight yet? Are you noticing a transformation of my svelte body this year?
It's hard because I see you every day.
Yeah.
So it's hard for me to tell if you've lost weight. If you'd like, I could take a month off and not see you and then come back. And if you did lose weight, I could easily tell.
There's times where you have taken a month off.
Never.
But you've shown up here.
I mean, mentally, I may have taken a month off, but physically, I've never taken a month off.
I've taken months off at a time sitting here doing this.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
No,
well, I don't know. Have you lost any weight?
I've lost up here.
And I'm well on my way of meeting you there.
Yeah.
So
just
I shouldn't say well on my way, but
no, I could be like you.
You run a startup, so you know it's. I guess we're still a startup, right?
Sure, we are.
7 years in.
7 years in, we're always a startup. There's a point where you just will wake up one day and say, I've had enough of this. I'm not going to go do the transplants and the plugs and all that stuff. This is me. This is me. Okay, you need to do the same thing at some point. Just walk in there and say,
no.
I'm done fighting it.
Not there yet.
It doesn't make you old. It makes you
not even wiser.
You looking forward to Palazzolo today on this quarterback stuff?
Oh, yeah.
I'm all in on Lamar Jackson.
I am too.
Did you see Josh Rosen, like this big deal on Josh Rosen today saying, quote, I'm the best quarterback in the draft? And how this is being blown up into like a major story. I don't know.
It's okay if he does.
Yes.
It's not a problem. He should say that.
I am the fourth best quarterback in this draft. We're not taking you. I think that there are other players that are just as gifted and talented as me. Okay, you've been with a PR firm for way too long. Tell me what you really think. I want unfiltered.
I'm all for the Cardinals staying at 15, and if there's a quarterback like Lamar Jackson there, taking him, or if there's not a quarterback like Lamar Jackson there. If Mason Rudolph is sitting there at the top of the second round, I've seen him play a lot, and I'm not going to say he's
Big 12 guy.
I'm not going to say he's as good as Sam Darnold, but
he's
similar to Sam Darnold.
What about the idea of going wide receiver when you see that the wide receivers usually don't do much the first couple of years? If you look at the last few years of wide receivers, very few of them have come right out and have absolutely killed it.
Well, I know one wide receiver that's going to get drafted in the first round that's going to be a
– You think Christian's going to be first round, Christian Kirk?
I think so. I mean, I've seen him below Calvin Ridley. I think Ridley from Alabama is the top-rated wide receiver, but I'm not sure if he'll be there at number 15.
Yeah.
But I'd be fine if the Cardinals drafted Christian Kirk. I mean, he can fit – numerous needs for them.
It feels like if they went offensive line,
which they need,
but it's an admission. Well, it's not. This is the way it works in the NFL. We screwed up on Jonathan Cooper, but we turned him into Chandler Jones. Yeah, but you still have a hole on the offensive line.
Yep.
And well, Jared Valdir, he was here, but he's not here anymore, so we traded him away.
Yep.
DJ Humphreys, he's been on scholarship and then he's gotten hurt, but we really believe in DJ Humphreys, but this is the year for DJ Humphreys, right? So.
And on the other side of the ball, you could probably say the same with Robert Nkandichi.
Yes. Well, no, I would say that...
I mean, DJ Humphreys is
further,
so much more advanced.
Yeah. No, I think Kim Dichie is a...
it's a make or break year. It just is.
I called that one last October that it's time now. I think I'm beyond make or break with him. I'm completely... unimpressed with everything about him other than physically he looks like a beast.
Well, and he's been a healthy scratch a few games last year as a first round pick. That's not good.
No. And so when you look at where they're going in this draft, if they go outside of quarterback, there's going to be a huge, what are you guys doing again? Because the expectation is Sam Bradford is going to get hurt.
And this is the year they need to draft a quarterback. There are so many good quarterbacks. Yeah. Just draft one and not in the sixth round.
But what was it? 1999 was the last time that five quarterbacks were taken in the first round. Last time. Elway, Jim Kelly, Dan Marino, they hit. Mm-hmm. Tony Eason, Todd Blackledge, they didn't hit.
Right.
The Matt Leinart pick, I was at the time looking at that as more PR for the building. And we all saw what happened with Matt. He didn't have an interest in playing. He really had no fire in the belly for football, and he was out of the game before you knew it.
But he didn't start off poorly. He just sort of regressed as a quarterback.
I think he was decent
his first couple years, and then after that, yeah, he just sort of just didn't really put in the time to make himself better and take himself to that next level.
Okay, would you agree with me on this? I think he melted under Kurt Warner.
I could see that.
I think Kurt Warner, it's kind of like Patrick Reed at the Masters, where everybody and their brother can try to take it away from him, but he's just not going to have any part of that.
Right.
And Kurt came here so hungry after what happened at New York with the Giants. And I think Matt came in just kind of like, you know what? This is fine. It's great. I still remember the day where he showed up late to a presser up in Flagstaff after a poor showing down here in one of those worthless preseason games. And he had one of those ponchos, and he came in and he was like barely awake, and he was just kind of like and I'm sitting there like, what do you mean this is not what fans want,
not from your starting quarterback.
No. And so, you know, if you blow another first round pick, that's not good. I saw the baseball game last night from pretty much start to finish. I was in my office working on some things. A lot of notes about, don't you think Lovello should be suspended, fined and suspended for what he said to Yadier Molina? And there's a part of me, I'm not going to say that I'm 100% sold on that. There's a part of me that does believe that he should be fined and suspended, but I still have this little voice in the back of my head said, you weren't on the field. You saw the video, but you could not hear the audio. And just because Torrey has said, I used a poor choice in words, and Yadier said that he dropped the MF on him, but did he drop it on him or did he drop it to the umpire? Is there a difference in that? Is suspending a manager for a game? I love the fact he stood up for his player. That's part of it. Is that a suspendable offense? Well, if you really look at it from the letter of the law, yes, it is. If Yadier Molina decides to go crazy on Torrey Lovello, that's not going to be good. So they won again last night. This ties their best start in the history of the franchise. I mean, we're seeing something pretty darn good here where people were questioning in the offseason, well, is their starting pitching deep enough, and what's going to happen with Greinke? Zach Godley was really good last night. We'll get into that a little bit later in the show. Break time here. Steve Palazzolo, Pro Football Focus, and then Didier Drogba. I'm Brad Susmat. Joined now by Steve Palazzolo. Always good to catch up with Steve, Pro Football Focus senior analyst. He just released his latest mock draft where he has Lamar Jackson heading to the Arizona Cardinals. We're going to get into that with Steve. And also where all these quarterbacks are going to land. Let's just start out, Steve, off the top. As you're sitting here today talking, give me through the first four picks and what you're hearing around the league with draft day just about 3 weeks away.
Oh, I'm hearing a lot of smoke and mirrors, I think, at this point. It's tough to really nail down exactly what's going to happen. I know what I would do, and I'm a big Baker Mayfield fan and big fan of Sam Darnold. I think those should be the top two guys off the board, followed by Josh Rosen. I do have a feeling it's going to be Darnold to the Browns, which then gives the Giants that next decision of, you know, is it Rosen? Do they trust Mayfield? Do they like Josh Allen? A lot of rumors that they're not going to go quarterback. And then, of course, the Jets. To me, I think it's either between Rosen or Mayfield at that point. And then I don't know if Josh Allen ends up going in the top three like a lot of people expect. Perhaps he ends up going, five to Denver, or maybe he ends up dropping just a little bit. So a lot of different ways that it can go. I mean, this is really one of those classes where there's a ton of first-round quarterbacks, and every team is going to have them ranked a little bit differently.
All right, so in terms of number two, let's just focus on two. Cardinals trading up with the Giants, Buffalo trading up with the Giants. At Pro Football Focus, you go through the analytics side of things, break guys down. Does it make sense for the Cardinals to move all the way up from 15 to 2? Hefty price tag, probably number one this year for sure, number one next year for sure, and more to it than that. Is it worth it for these quarterbacks?
I think it's always risky, trading up for a quarterback. I think there's three guys I feel pretty good about building a team around when it comes to Mayfield, Darnold, and Rosen. I feel good about maybe a Lamar Jackson and a Mason Rudolph.
Mm-hmm.
Not as good as I feel about those top few, and I think there's a lot of risk with, say, a Josh Allen. So I think if you go get one of those top three guys in my world, it's Mayfield, it's Darnold, and it's Rosen, you can see the payoff. The risk there, though, if you're the Cardinals or the Bills or any team trading up, is just understanding that your roster is probably going to get worse before it gets better.
Right.
And I know we've seen teams in recent years, the Rams and the Eagles, they've been able to mitigate that a little bit through some shrewd free agent moves and coaching changes and with the Rams, that certainly helps. But for the most part, when you make that move, you give up future first-round picks, you give up a lot of your draft capital, the roster is going to get worse before it gets better. And if you're okay and understanding that just in order to get your guy, then I do think it's worth it, especially if you're getting one of those top three guys.
Steve Palazzolo, Pro Football Focus, with us for a couple of minutes. I want to talk about Denver for a bit because I think they're an interesting case study. John Elway comes in, and it's John Elway, but John Elway has struggled with Paxton Lynch. He struggled with Trevor Siemian. He had Tim Tebow come through. Analyzing quarterbacks, if you're a Bronco fan and where their spot is in the draft, take me through Denver and what do you see Elway doing? Because he has not hit a home run yet, Steve.
Yeah, he hasn't really. I mean, on one hand, you could say, hey, Trevor Siemian was a seventh-round pick. Expectations should have been low. But when you're rolling with him as your starter with, mm-hmm. A little behind him, then, that was certainly risky. I think when you're looking for a quarterback, it's not terribly detrimental to miss on quarterbacks. It's very rewarding, though, when you do hit. The potential of hitting, just far outweighs the value of hitting, just far outweighs the risk. So I think for Denver, they should very much be in this market. And again, if one of those top three guys in my world, Darnold, Mayfield, or Rosen, if they're available at five, I would go.
Right.
I'd go get them. I'd go get that quarterback. I think they signed Case Keenum to a bridge deal. I mean, that's what it is. They're not locked into him beyond 2 years. It's a friendly team deal in today's NFL. So I think Denver is very much in that quarterback market. I don't know if they'll be a little gun shy because they added Keenum and they've missed recently.
Right.
But they're in a good position to maybe not force a pick. But if one of the guys that they love falls, they should go ahead and get him.
Okay. So let's go over to the Cardinals then. So what did you make out of Bradford other than the obvious? Paper thin, has been hurt quite a bit. Fans down here have not been overly excited with the move. I tend to look at the other side and say, when he was on the field, yeah, he put up great numbers, but it's not the long-term answer. To your point, he's a bridge guy. Mike Glennon comes here. Mike Glennon's just a veteran backup who's not done much. What do you make out of the move so far, and is that why at 15 you've got Lamar Jackson slotted coming here?
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly a bridge situation with Sam Bradford. I'm no Sam Bradford apologist, but I can kind of see where, I think he's a little bit better than people want to give him credit for.
Agreed.
Obviously, as fragile as it gets, and the thing I've always said for Bradford is I've always wanted to see him in just a great situation. The analysis that we added on Kirk Cousins, Kirk Cousins was coming out of the situation in Washington throwing to an excellent group of playmakers that really inflated his stats. So he was a good, not great quarterback who came out with some really good numbers for a couple of years. That's never really happened for Bradford, and I think part of it's his own fault. Part of it's his inability to maybe elevate teammates, but I would love to see him go to a situation with a nice offensive line and with just a really good, well-rounded group of playmakers because he could be he's a very accurate quarterback at the intermediate and downfield levels. The question with him, of course, is the injury, but also when he doesn't have that perfect situation, can he elevate those guys around him? That's always been a concern, and I think coming to Arizona, where you have a wide receiver core that's really getting a lot of turnover and an offensive line that still has major question marks, this probably isn't going to be the year where Bradford just has that perfect ecosystem around him to truly excel and maybe live up to the hype 8 or 9 years into his career.
And I would say that while I agree with you on a lot of that, he does have David Johnson, assuming David's healthy, to turn around and hand the football off. So I don't think the pressure is there as much. One other question before I let you go, and that is on Lamar Jackson. The mom being the one that's representing him and telling him to do this and to do that, not do as many things. How much of that is in the lying season that we're in right now? You know this, I know this, where agents are lying, teams are lying, everybody's lying before we get up to the day where the card is pulled. How much of that is fact or fiction versus what you're hearing around Lamar Jackson?
Yeah, I mean, I'd like to think that the words and the buzz and the stuff that the media is talking about doesn't truly affect what's happening in NFL draft rooms.
Right.
I can't imagine that in an NFL draft room where a bunch of guys have just in isolation evaluated all of these quarterbacks, I can't imagine that they're being terribly influenced by, you know, media speculation and did he throw here and did he throw there? I mean, there's enough film to watch and make a judgment on these guys. And the thing I keep coming back to with Lamar, you have to understand his strengths and weaknesses. The obvious strength is the athleticism, but he can also make special NFL throws.
Right.
The weakness, though, is he just doesn't throw the ball accurately on a throw-for-throw basis. So he's going to miss a lot of throws. He's not going to be the most polished passer right off the bat, but there's an offense to be built around him. And if you're willing to build that offense around him, let him run a little bit, you know, build play action off that to create some easy throws, and he can go through reads and make downfield throws, you know, not as well as anybody in the class, but he's up there. So there's a path to success with Lamar. There are some big plays to be made both down the field and with his running ability. And I'd like to think that a lot of the, you know, postseason, you know, draft nonsense isn't a big factor when it comes to his overall evaluation.
Yeah, the noise, I call it, right? The noise all around him.
Plenty of it.
Good stuff. Thanks for the time, as always.
Yep, you got it. Thank you.
Steve Palazzolo there with us. Pro Football Focus, one of the best in the business. You can follow him at Pro Football Focus. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. Our football show, Fox Sports Arizona, Brad Sussmatz, Football AZ, 16 airings per week. And we're back with more after this timeout. The pursuit of an MLS, a Major League Soccer team, continues to be front and center here in the Valley. You drive by the 101-202, you see this little stadium off to the side, right by Tempe Marketplace. What's it all about? Didier Drogba, a worldwide name, a big-time brand, decides to come here to Phoenix to finish out his career. He's part of the ownership group. What about the stadium? Maybe partnering with another team. If I'm throwing out a lot of questions at you, it's because there are many around Phoenix Rising FC. I sat down with Drogba and one of the owners to get an update on Drogba's status in the future and much more.
I'm very, very happy with the first year here. And what I found here with the fans, with the city, and with my teammates is exactly what I expected, even more than what I expected in terms of connections, you know, with the fans, with the people from the city, and of course with the players.
Mm. What do you like most about Phoenix?
Of course, everybody will say the weather. Mm-hmm. I like the weather, and I like the fact that there's a population here who's waiting for something special here, mm-hmm. you know, to have a football team. You can see when they come to the games, when you meet them in the street, they talk about football, and this is great. This is important to me, and it makes me feel that I really made the right decision to come here.
Was it a tough decision to come here?
No, it wasn't. Yeah. It wasn't because the best of my playing career is behind me, and I needed to find a place where I could try to give some of my experience to people, and also a place who wants to achieve the dream, the dream, and I like this kind of challenges, you know, and this is what really drives me, you know, this kind of challenge, where people say, no, it's not possible, and you come here and you see this stadium, you see the fans, you see what we did last year, last season, where we started really in a difficult position and then we finished with the playoff spot. So I'm really into that kind of challenge.
Didier, you said earlier that your best is behind you. What can't you do anymore when you're out on there? And it's, what's going on here? Why can't I
do
this?
No, I, okay, when I say that, I mean, I cannot run like when I was 25.
Mm-hmm.
But I can still score goals.
Yes, you can.
This is something that will never leave me. You know, this is what I've been doing even before becoming a professional. In the streets with my friends, I was scoring goals, and during my career, I scored goals. But obviously, a professional career playing at high level, even if today I decided to work really hard and play in one of the best leagues in Europe, I could.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's about time for me to do something else, to think about the after football. And this is also the reason why I'm here, because this is my future. This is my after football. This is my club, and this is where I want to be, because I know that Phoenix will be one of the biggest team in the MLS. So I want to be here, and that's why I'm here.
You talked a little bit about maybe it's time, or you know it's time to go on to the next step. Are you feeling that urge that this year is it?
I decided. It's not my physique who doesn't want to carry on, because I can play, I think, 2 more years.
Mm-hmm.
I can, easily. But I want to take care of the next step. The next step is important to me. And
ownership.
Yeah.
MLS coming here.
MLS
those
coming.
Next steps.
I want to be more involved in the board meetings, and I want to bring my experience more, and also I've got some other things to take care of. But I think I can continue next year and the year after. I will still score goals, but for me, what else? You know, like the goals I'm scoring now are the same goals I've been scoring in Chelsea. in so 10, 15, 20 years of professionalism, I think it's a good career. So
you're a worldwide brand. You're a worldwide name. When you first came here to Phoenix, I had people from around the country and around the world that said, you met Drogba. When you're here in Phoenix, it's not the most savvy soccer market yet. I've been here 25 years. Is it odd for you to go in anonymity? Because if you're in certain parts of the world, there's no way that you can walk down the street without being recognized and mobbed, right?
Let me tell you, this is what I also appreciate here. People know about football, and they see you, they recognize you,
mm-hmm.
but they're not going to mob you.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't mean that they don't have the passion for the game.
Correct.
They have the passion for the game. So for me to experience this is kind of living in England, you know, with a better weather.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, in London, there's 7 or 8 teams in the Premier League, or 17 at the time. But so you have more chances to meet fans from different teams or for the clubs. Here is different. There's only us, and it's up to us to make people know this game. And I think we're doing quite well. And to be honest, I love my life like this.
Mm.
I've always been someone who likes. Who wants to be able to walk in the street and do some activities with his kids. And here I can do that, so I'm really happy.
I'll let you go. If you were to look ahead to December, what's your gut tell you about the MLS coming here? Wherever I go, I get asked that question. Brad, what do you think is going to happen? I don't know. I've been wanting soccer to come here for 20 years, and I feel like this is the best chance. A face like yourself, a group of owners that are committed to staying in the moment. What does your gut tell you about getting MLS this December?
Well, I believe in facts, you know, more than my guts. I really believe in facts. Mm. And look what we achieved in 52 days, build the stadium. In 1 year, we built a team, which is what you need for MLS. You need a team, a competitive team. We proved that we're competitive. We played against MLS teams in preseason. They beat us, and we only had 1 week of preseason, and we're competing. You know, this is, for me, some signals that you need to notice. And this year, we're going to be even better. We have a great coach. Last year, we were unbeaten for, I don't know, for how many games. And look at the population here, young. It's really young, and all these kids, they play football. I drive around and I see soccer field everywhere. People are playing, and the community here, the diversity of the community, like this, every community is here. And this is a place where I still don't understand why there's not an MLS team.
The ownership group of Rising FC is comprised of several Valley businessmen, all of them playing a key role in positioning the franchise for the December announcement of MLS and if Phoenix is going to be admitted. Mark Detmer is in the industrial real estate market for JLL. Selling buildings and raising equity is his business by day. With over a half dozen business partners in Phoenix Rising FC, how have they managed to stay in their own lanes in the pursuit of bringing Major League Soccer to the Valley?
A lot of people. How have you all stayed in the same lane? That's the question I get. You've done it.
It's a question we get, yeah. And it's a fair question. And I'll tell you, when you're all united around solutions and not problems, you row in the same direction. And so I would tell you that the strength of our pack is the wolf, and the strength of the wolf is our pack. Mm. We run together, and we all have been united in building the stadium in 50-plus days and meeting with MLS in New York and submitting our application and working towards a stadium solution that mitigates the heat so players are safe, fans are comfortable, and the end proving that this market, that this Phoenix market, can support soccer. And when I graduated from Arizona State University, the number one question I had from my parents was, well, what are you going to do now? Where's your job? Where's your career going to take you? And what we want to do through soccer is attract those companies to this market, to Phoenix. And to do that, we think it's a global sport. We'll attract global companies. So when you graduate from Arizona State University or Grand Canyon or NAU or U of A, there'll be jobs here. There'll be good jobs here. And so we figured that for us, this is a big part of building that in the community.
Phoenix is in a sports building arms race. Could it be that Rising FC looks at the current landscape of Valley sports facilities and perhaps partners with a current team?
How do you compete? Do you look at them and say, maybe we partner up? There's been a lot of discussion about that. What can you say on that front?
I would tell you that at this point today, Brad, we're looking at all of our options. You know, without going too far, the first steps for us was finding a heat mitigated solution because we're soccer purists. We want to play on natural grass. And to do that, we've looked at Chase Field that has a roof that retracts. We've looked at Cardinal Stadium that has a grass that goes outside, and we've looked at how do we come up with heat mitigated solutions where we don't have to do either, but we still play on natural grass. And so we've worked with Populous and Gould Evans, a couple engineering and architecture firms, to solve for the heat because we'll play through the summer. And to do that, you got to create shade, you got to create passive cooling system and active cooling systems. But at this point right now, we're looking to do a soccer specific stadium.
All right, a couple things here before we get out for the day. Today is a very good day. We'll go Diamondbacks first, and I'll get over to the Suns, because today's a national holiday for the Suns. It's their last game of the year, thankfully, mercifully. The Diamondbacks, Zach Godley last night, I don't know too many people other than those that are really in tune with the Diamondbacks, really in tune with them, that are fans of Zach Godley. It doesn't mean they don't like him. It's just they're indifferent about him. He's a back-end starter to a lot of people. If I ask people, what do you think of the Diamondbacks rotation? It's, well, there's Greinke and there's Ray and there's Corbin. And they're, you know, they struggle with Taijuan Walker. And then there's Zach Godley. You know, Mike Hazen has put this rotation together. And so far, through a couple of weeks through this rotation, what do you think? Now, granted, they're going to go through their ups and their downs. I've pointed out that the Greinke starts so far are 0-2, and this is not a reflection on Zach as much. The expectation is when you're paying somebody that much money, they should just automatically win every game that he's out there pitching. And it's like people that were on Goldschmidt. Are you kidding me? So he got off to a slow start. Happens. Last night, RBI triple. But Zach Godley, when you watch him pitch like last night, I mean, talk about nails. 9 strikeouts in 7 innings, and the ball would just disappear, disappear, disappear. Giants hitters had no shot against him last night. And I love his enthusiasm when he gets done with an inning, when he knows he's striking somebody out, he's just running right to the dugout. And so you don't feel as though that there's a drop-off when a guy like Zach Godley is on the mound and doing what he did last night. Again, and the fact that they're winning close games. You know, they won 2-1 last night, and Archie comes in and saves it. So 8-2 for the second time in the history of the franchise.
And that's got to be a great feeling, Brad, when you're a pitcher and you absolutely positively know you have, like, your A-plus stuff.
You own everybody.
You do. You're out there on the mound, and you're just thinking, I'm going to strike this guy out. He knows I'm going to throw this curveball, and he still can't hit it. That was the case last night.
That was
fun. When you strike out 9, you don't walk anyone. I mean, that's about as picture-perfect of a game as you can pitch.
Yeah, last night was fun. It was crisp. It was well-played. I was sitting in my office, and it was like 2 hours and 30-some-odd minutes, and it felt like just a crisp, clean game last night for them. So nicely done there. And it was on a night where Lovello said he was disappointed in himself, and Souza, they had a setback with him. And so there was some down news around the team. I still would not be surprised if Torey Lovello gets suspended by MLB. Something has to be done on that. Unless what Yadier Molina said, the accusation that Lovello called him an MF-er, that didn't happen. I mean, we're sitting here 48 hours later and nothing has happened to Torey Lovello. So is this just going to go away? There's no fine. There's no suspension. There's nothing.
But he did say it. I mean, he
could you hear him say it?
No, but he essentially said, I used a poor choice of words.
But maybe his poor choice of words wasn't as strong. Is there a difference in expletives?
Yes, but only certain expletives would get the type of reaction from Yadier Molina that Yadier Molina gave Torey Lovello on Sunday.
And while I agree with you on that, I agree with you, but you and I couldn't hear what he said. Maybe he said something else.
Like we talked about yesterday, only 3 people know what was said.
Right.
Lovello, Yadier Molina, and the home plate umpire.
And so for Lovello to come out yesterday and apologize again, because you have to know that Derek's involved in this whole deal behind the scenes, and to apologize right after the game and apologize again yesterday in San Francisco, and nothing has happened as of yet. And then the Souza story comes out, which to me is it's news, but it does deflect away from Lovello. It gets you a day further. It gets you out of the news cycle a little bit quicker. It's not like they're going to run a soundbite of Torey Lovello saying, I'm sorry again. They already had that. So if nothing happens by today to Torey Lovello, I'm just to assume he's in the clear.
I think you're probably right.
Right?
Today is Tuesday. It's almost 2 o'clock.
Here's the clip. You know, here's the clip. And nothing has happened as of yet. We're very sad that the Suns season is ending tonight. The sun is setting again on the Suns season. Another year of failure by Robert Sarver to the nth degree. Although we're going to get we're in position to get DeAndre Ayton. If we can just get DeAndre Ayton and everything is geared towards DeAndre Ayton or Marvin Bagley. Man, can you imagine how great the Suns are going to be if they have Josh Jackson and Devin Booker and DeAndre Ayton? They're going to be awesome next year. Yeah, well, what about this year? What about all those fans that saved up their money to go watch this product this year and the year before and the year before and the year before? 8 years of fans saving up their money to go watch this slop. And we're just supposed to, well, it's all about DeAndre Ayton. Let's advance the narrative, man. Let's do damage control. I am rolling in the money with this venture. I'm an NBA owner making gobs of dough, quadrupling my investment. Oh, we don't want to hear about that, Brad. We just want to talk about DeAndre Ayton. Are you kidding me? This guy has gotten over on everybody. He has to be smiling at night because clearly winning or lack thereof or no commitment to winning doesn't impact him. No amount of criticism matters because he's got a decimal point where many of you don't, including me. And so if a guy is just all wound up about, look at me and my dollar figure and I'm smarter than everybody else because I could put crap on the floor. Well, Devin Booker's not crap. Josh Jackson isn't crap. No, you're right. You're right. But the overall product that you're putting out there, it's like having two really good servers and bad cooks all over the place at your restaurant. If this were a restaurant, it would have an F rating out front and they would close it down. But instead, well, the Sun season comes to an end. It's been a hard luck year for the Suns, and now they look ahead to the NBA draft lottery, and we hope. No, you're not supposed to hope. When you have a microphone in front of you, you don't hope. Not here to cheerlead. And so it's the Suns who are lousy against a Dallas team who's brutal, and that's the way the season ends tonight. I even told the staff, it's like, what is the point in going down tomorrow when they clean out their lockers and they carry out the trash bags, other than all you're doing is showing the trash bags carried out? And you want so badly to have a player say, this is unacceptable and I don't want to be here if this isn't going to change. Anybody who's comfortable who works there outside of getting their paycheck, I mean, you're not in this to win. It's not that hard. If you run a business, aren't you in it to win on, if you're in the sports business? I'm in this to win and put out really good content every day. But if I'm in this just to do what I'm doing in our current industry, I'm just going to put pictures of people that aren't wearing much clothes, and I'm going to put TMZ stuff up all day long and call it a business. I mean, what Robert's doing here is really no different than Donald Sterling in one regard with his apartments. It's just... it's crazy to me there's not more outrage. And then I get, well, there's apathy. Well, you've already made your point. It's another year. You got to take guys like this to task and not just accept what goes on year after year after year. You just do. So I'm not going to watch tonight. Actually, I'm looking ahead to the NHL playoffs. Vegas and the Kings, that's the best story going. What Vegas has done in a year's time, it makes me think of the Coyotes and what they can do. Speaking of the Coyotes, I was just talking to Haley Stasiak. She's going to put some stuff up on the site on the Coyotes, some thoughts, some content that she was able to get yesterday. Juke's Journey, Eric's deep dive with Majuk Dang that was on our TV show on Saturday night on ABC. That'll be up. What you just saw there with Didier, we're going to put that up on the site. Jordan's got his story from the TV show. So a lot of stuff, if you missed our ABC primetime special, we'll put up on the site today. Thanks again to Jared Nielsen, our chairman of the board. Eric Sorensen, as always, senior executive vice president of nothing or everything, depending on the day. To you and to our partners, we are self-funded. We appreciate their support. AZ Central, appreciate you guys. And tonight, our TV show over on Fox Sports Arizona, appreciate the partnership with them before and after the Diamondbacks. Have yourself a great day.